our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
Some of you may have heard the programs that I did with my friend Gail Summers. She was one of my students in seminary many, many years ago. And she's now a mother of, I've forgotten how many children. And she was on my program, and she talked about the fact that she really didn't feel that she was cut out to be a mother. And she just really had to pray that the Lord would help her to learn to mother these children. Now, some of us are born with strong maternal instincts, and some of us don't seem to be. But Gail had a most unusual and very important testimony that I wanted my listeners to hear, because she's a very brilliant woman, one of my most brilliant students, extremely attractive, married also to a brilliant man, and there are many things that she could have done in the world to make a lot of money, I'm sure. But the Lord was dealing with her, and she was willing to make the sacrifices of becoming a mother. And certainly there isn't any sphere in which we're given a better opportunity to put ourselves at the disposal of another person. You put yourself at the disposal of this baby, in a sense. Now, of course, there are limitations, aren't there? And the baby has to learn very early on that he is not running this household. And if you don't teach your baby that, it's going to be a household full of chaos, isn't it? And my mother, who raised 6 children, was very strong on teaching children from day one who's in charge. And she said, the tone of your voice and the touch of your hand is understood by a newborn infant. And Gail talked about the ways in which the Lord had changed her attitude and helped her to choose the attitude of a mother and to learn to love those children as a mother is supposed to. Now, when Jesus was here walking on earth, he was at the mercy of multitudes, wasn't he? And mobbed and constantly pestered by people who wanted him to do things and wanted him to give them things, the demands of many people. And we know what Jesus' attitude was. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was available. I don't know how many of you women feel that it's a great gift to have to take a subordinate position to your husband. That doesn't come naturally to most of us. Now, I do know some women who seem to be so meek and so sweet and so compliant and so submissive that I cannot imagine that they've ever had a problem with the command that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands. But I don't know very many women like that. And may I see the hands of those of you who find it, at least at times, slightly difficult to be submissive to your husbands. Quite a few hands. Because he is fallible, isn't he? At least my husband is. In fact, all 3 of my husbands have been fallible. And a lot of times, or at least every once in a while, I think they're making a mistake. It's possible, isn't it? Wives, submit to your husbands in everything, the Bible says. That's what it says. It's in the book. And if there's one thing that really irritates me, it's to hear somebody say, well, Elizabeth Elliott feels that women are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. And I want to say, where did you ever get the idea that I feel that way? I don't feel anything of the kind. If the Lord were asking me to write a book about how wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, it would be a very different story. But he's not asking me. He's already told us, and it's here. It's in the book, and I have to choose my attitude. Now we've got some single women here. Some of you are divorced, some of you are widowed, and some of you have never been married in your lives, and you just feel as if all the best things in life have been denied you. Choose your attitude. It will cost you something. You have to receive the gift of singleness. Now, don't come up to me and say, well, now, how am I supposed to know if I have the gift of singleness? Because there's a very simple answer. Are you single? If you're single today, on this particular day, then you have the gift of singleness. Now, God can change that next Wednesday if he wants to. It's none of your business. What God wants of you is acceptance. In acceptance lieth what? Peace. In acceptance lieth peace. So choose your attitude. Say, yes, Lord, I'll take it. I will receive your will for my life. And if singleness is your will for my life, that's your business, Lord. But for today, I'm going to thank you. And today, I am going to glorify you by being single. I get shoals of letters from single women, especially those who have reached 30 or over. They've never been married. And of course, they want to know, why would God give you three husbands and he won't even let me have a date? I think, how am I supposed to know why God gave me three husbands? I could never imagine when Jim died that I would ever be married again. I just figured that's it, so much for that. I would never love anybody else. Nobody else would ever want me. It was a miracle that I got married the first time, I thought. Couldn't imagine there would ever be a second. But all I can say is, when the time came, 13 years after Jim died, and another man came along, it appeared to me that God was actually giving me this gift again. And I was open to it then, but I wasn't open to it the third time. I absolutely was not. You can ask Lars, it took him a long time of deliberate speed, majestic instancy, and a great deal of patience and delicacy. But God gave me the gift of singleness for the first 26 years of my life. Then he gave me the gift of marriage for 2 years and 3 months. Then he gave me singleness again, widowhood, 13 years. And 4.5 years of marriage after that, and once again, widowhood. It's not for me to figure out why God does anything. It's for me to say, yes, Lord, yes, I trust you, and I want to do your will. When you're hurt, are you willing to rejoice? You don't feel like it, but you have to choose your attitude. These are specific ways in which we do it. Put yourself at the other person's disposal. Be available for other people's demands. Be subordinate in places where you're supposed to be subordinate, not only in the home, of course, but in the church. We are to submit to those that God has put in authority over us. In civic life, we are to be submissive. When hurt, rejoice. Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And that doesn't come naturally, does it? The story about St. Francis of Assisi is that when he was reviled and persecuted and people said all manner of evil against him falsely, he danced in the streets. He did it. Went way beyond the call of duty and danced. Accustom yourself. This has been a maxim that has, well, it comforts me, it helps me, it fortifies me. I read it in a little devotional book, just this simple sentence, accustom yourself to unreasonableness and injustice. Now, I'm sure that there's some people here that need that word. Just accustom yourself to unreasonableness and injustice. And that's a choice. This person is being totally unreasonable. That verdict against me was totally unjust. Get used to it. We live in a fallen world. We live with sinners. Now, are you a moody person? There isn't anybody harder to live with than a moody person who goes into funks and is silent for days at a time, and you can't find out what in the world's wrong with them. It's not an apostolic virtue to be moody. It has to go. Choose your attitude. Do you respond the way you feel like responding, or do you respond with graciousness, with kindness, with love? When everything in you says, feel sorry for yourself, you know, you've really been very badly used. No, it won't do. Is it a calm, loving, unselfish silence? Or is it an angry, self-pitying, self-coddling silence? Now, Jesus is not going to intrude in your life. He doesn't hammer on the door. He stands there and knocks. And he says, if you will open the door, I will come into you, and I will sit down and have supper with you. But he's not going to do it if you don't open the door. Now, very often we seem to understand that verse as referring to salvation. And I certainly wouldn't say it doesn't refer to salvation. But in every situation in life, Jesus is standing at the door knocking and saying, how are you going to respond to this? If you will simply open the door and let me come in, I'll sit down with you. I will eat supper with you. And we will have peace together. But he won't barge in. He's not going to open that door. He waits for you to do it, and he knocks.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.